Hello and welcome to the Jazz Podcast. I am your host, Rob Cope, and today we are celebrating our 7th birthday in spectacular style. This is part one, featuring Olivia Cuttill and her new album, The Whole Damn Plan. We're also joined by the fabulous guest co-host for today, Mark Lockhart. Before we get to the show, here's a listen to Olivia's track, Your Old Man's Plan, from the new album. Here we go.
Sweetheart, I've got a pitch for you. You're gonna be a star. Faint hearts are gonna skip for you. That's just the way you are. I can see you in Showtime. I can see you in Harlem. You'll be up there in no time. You'll be riddled with stardom. I know it's true. Your old man has found a clue. I'll catch you in a couple days. I'll find a map and sketch the...
Hello and welcome to the Jazz Podcast. It's our 7th birthday. Today we're celebrating first by talking to Olivia Cuttill with my guest co-host, Mark Lockhart. Hello, Mark. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm good, thanks, Rob. Nice to be here.
Yeah, loving it. Olivia, how are you?
Yeah, great. Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
This is going to be fun. I've just played the listeners your first track from your new album. The album's called The Whole Damn Plan, and the track's called Yes. Your Old Man's Plan.
Yes.
I like all this planning that's at the top here. We'll dive into it, but first of all, tell us a bit about yourself and who you are and everything for our lovely listeners.
Yeah, so my name's Olivia Cuttill. I'm a trumpet player and composer and band leader for my quintet. I play mostly like jazz, kind of blues, New Orleansy kind of, that's what I'm leaning towards at the moment. And I've just released my new album, The Whole Damn Plan, with my quintet. We've got Miles Pillinger, Izzy Chivers, Tom Harris and Fergus Quill in that band. And they're on the album with a bunch of brilliant guests. And that's kind of where I'm at the moment, just doing a bit of a tour of the album and just getting by, really.
How's the tour? How's it been? Are you planning it all yourself? Do you have a manager or anything?
Yeah, I am planning it by myself. So I've organised all the dates and everything, but I've been really lucky because Nigel has helped me with some funding and some marketing. So they're just kind of topping me up, making sure I get a good, cover my travel and get pretty good fee on all the gigs. So I'm really thankful and lucky for that. But I've been, liaising with all the venues and getting us the dates. It's been going really well. Yeah, we've had 4 dates so far. Amazing Grace in London, and then Hype Up Book Club in Leeds, Talkwell Rooms in Southend, and then Woolwich Works in London. And they've all been such lovely nights. I'm just so over the moon with how it's all been going, actually. It's gone really, really well.
Amazing. Mark, how do you plan your tours? Tell us all.
it's just interesting listening to. I think it gets a bit harder as you go on touring. I don't know, kind of keeping people, trying to get people interested in things. You always feel, I don't know if you find this, Olivia, but you kind of, you do have to kind of persuade people sometimes to kind of book your thing, and maybe with me being, where I am, at this point in my life, it's you feel you have to kind of reinvent yourself a little bit to get people interested in booking your project, I mean, I guess with you, Olivia, is this your? I was listening to some of your stuff. It sounds lovely. Are you? This isn't your first album, is it? You've done some other bits before, some other EP.
Yeah, I've done like another project before, but it wasn't with the quintet. This is the first album with the quintet. And that was, I really had a great time doing it, but I've just graduated uni and these were all kind of experiments that I was doing in uni, which was really, really fun to make. But this was the first time like I wanted it to be a proper project with my own band and stuff. So even though I have done work before, which I am proud of, and I'm great, really happy to play with people on the other projects, this is kind of feels like the first album, even though it's not, you know, it kind of feels like it, and it's the first tour that we've ever done.
Right. Oh wow, brilliant. Yeah. I mean, just going back to the touring with this record that I've got out, I don't think I probably will tour it. I might have said this to you, Rob, because there's 13 of us and it's just a, you know, it's kind of a major kind of financial kind of no-goer, really. 13 people. I mean, I've just actually publicised a gig that we're doing at the Vortex as a launch, and we're going to do two shows that night. But yeah, no, I'm kind of envious a little bit, Olivia, that you've got a quintet and that you can take that on the road and, you know.
Yeah. 13. I bet it's really, really cool playing like in a big 13-piece band. But yeah, that must be really hard getting gigs and getting everyone there.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the quintet you've got, you mentioned the others. How did you come to choose those four to be your accomplices? Is it easy to pick?
So, like I said, I just kind of graduated uni last year and I was kind
Where
of
did
doing...
you start? I know the answer, but tell our listeners.
Oh, yeah. I studied at Leeds Conservatoire. And I did a lot of things experimenting. I had kind of, I was playing with Miles Pillinger, Liam Mason and Fergus Leach for a while, and they were really great.
Were they all on the course as well?
Yeah, they were all on the jazz course. And we were just kind of finding our feet. But after a while, I kind of was looking for a new sound. I took a bit of a break and a bit of time to think about it. And in that time, I'd been playing quite a lot with Tom Harris, who seemed to have just found me on Instagram and changed my life. And he kind of sent me a message and asked me to do something like this. It was a gig, I think it was in Manchester, for this women's refugee charity, and we come and play along with this choir. That's how I remember it. It was a while ago. And it was kind of a random gig to meet him on. But he kept on messaging me, oh, I've got this going on. And we just kept on meeting up. And he really, like when I played with him, I really felt like, whoa, I need to be playing with this guy, because this guy has really opened up my mind. And like, it seems like everything that I think, he kind of plays. You know, I like play a tune and he plays everything I could ever wish for the pianist to play. He played it. So he was really shaping my sound. And I wanted an upright bass, and Fergus Quill's got such a mark, like a real character. And I wanted proper character in this band. And then when it came to picking vocals, I just knew I wanted a vocalist in my band. I really enjoy writing lyrics. So I really wanted a vocalist. And I'd played in a big band with Izzy Chivers before, and she was just, firstly, incredible, really, really beautiful sound. But she's also so, so hardworking. I could tell that from the start, like properly knew this music inside out. And I just thought that's such a brilliant trait to have. And as soon as I started working with her, I knew like, yeah, this is it. You know, this is the one. So yeah, that's how I picked the band. And then Miles Pillinger, I'd already been playing with Miles for a while and he's just amazing. So, you know, I've been playing with him for years now. And that's how the band got together. And it's been great. Yeah, I've really, really been happy with them.
How did you find it writing lyrics? Is that something that comes naturally?
Yeah, I never really was like, I'm going to sit down and learn how to write lyrics or anything. I can't remember the first tune I decided to write lyrics on, but just something I wanted to do. And basically just did it. I can't really remember why. I think the first tune that I wrote lyrics to in the quintet, I think this was like a while ago, before like the final version of the quintet, was A Beautiful Spring Day in 101 Dalmatians. I absolutely love that film. And there's like this instrumental tune called A Beautiful Spring Day. And I just really love the melody. And I wrote the lyrics to that. And that's kind of how it started. Rather than writing a tune from scratch, I kind of wrote lyrics to a melody. Then I did a little bit of vocalese So I've done some vocalies on a tune on Lee Morgan's solo on Moaning, and then Miles Davis's solo on Freddie Freeloader. And then kind of slowly I ended up just writing tunes just with vocals, you know, completely my own tunes. So I guess, yeah, that was kind of the gradual, that's how I got there in the end. But I just always liked it. I always listened to vocal led music. I rarely listen to instrumental music, to be honest. And I just love words and singing and the voice. I just love it.
Well, that's interesting. Can I just ask you, Olivia, how did you get into jazz?
My dad's a musician and my dad's dad was a musician. So my dad's dad was a jazz pianist and my dad is a drummer. He does play a bit of jazz, but he's more, I think, like into like funk and soul, and he does loads of different stuff. So I've always been like, music has been the thing, you know, I've always known music was going to be the thing. And I learned trumpet in year five. So when I was 10, because they were just teaching trumpet. I didn't choose it really. They were just teaching trumpet. So I kind of stuck with it because I knew I wanted to do music. And if they were going to give me lessons for free, I just might as well. And then when I got to college, I stuck with the trumpet and I decided to do a diploma in music and bits and bobs. But basically it meant I was only doing music. I didn't have any backup options. It was just music. And to be honest, I wasn't very good at trumpet. Even my dad was like, "Are you sure you want to do that? You're not that good." And I was like, something just feels good. Like, I feel like I should do this. I didn't even like the trumpet that much, to be honest. But it was when I got to college, it was the first week and everyone had to choose a tune. And at this point, I'd kind of been playing music that I'd been brought up on, like Stevie Wonder and Donny Hathaway and stuff, playing those melodies on the trumpet, which was good. It was fine, but it just didn't feel right. And then I got to college. And my
this is like
said,
your first
you
week at Leeds College then?
No, this is my first week in Leighton when I was still in sixth form college.
Oh, okay, right.
And my teacher said, why don't you, everyone chose their own song and I was going to play It Last by Etta James. But my teacher actually was like, Olivia, why don't you try playing Summertime? Which I thought was a bit like, how come everyone else can choose their own tunes, but you've got to tell me what to do? But anyway, I did it. I went home, I listened to Ella Fitzgerald's Summertime. I transcribed the whole tune. I just loved it. Like, it just felt like everything has come together and feels right. And I played it exactly the way she played it on the trumpet. And I just, from that day, I called my dad and I said, I'm going to do a degree in jazz. I'm going to do jazz now. That's it. I just felt it was really like something just clicked. And that's how I decided to do jazz. And from then, I just was just trying to learn as much as I could. It was really just like a overnight thing, like, bam, never done it before. And now this is all I'm going to do.
Wow, amazing. Right.
Mark, yeah. Did you ever have that, Mark, a moment that like clicked with you where you were like, this is it, this is my life?
Yeah, I think I did. I mean, my dad played a lot of jazz. So I heard a lot of jazz when I was growing up. You know, he played Dave Brubeck records and Ellington and Ella actually as well, Ella Fitzgerald records. And so I was just exposed to it. And I kind of knew quite early on that that's kind of what I wanted to do. So it was in my DNA, really. Mm-hmm. You know, and I do think when you're exposed, when you're young and you're exposed to things, you know, that kind of nurture thing, you know, nature nurture, I don't know, whatever, you know, how that works, but I do think you stand a good chance of being, you know, turning into being interested in something if you're exposed to something, whether it's sport or music, or, you know, and for me it was jazz music. Mm. Dad played it around the house all the time, so I didn't have a chance really. That's what I was gonna do, you know.
So, Olivia, was your dad pleased when you told him you were going to do a jazz degree, given that he's a musician as well?
Yeah, I remember the phone call. He was like, wow, like, wow. Like, it kind of felt like a dream, like my daughter is going to study jazz. It wasn't like the first call that I made when I told him I was going to study music in college. That call was a bit more like, oh, God, because, you know, he's a musician. He's, you know, it's a struggling career. It's hard. And he was like, Olivia, girl, you could do something else, you know, you don't need to struggle like me. And I was like, no. That call was a bit like, ugh. But the call when I said, no, I'm doing jazz, I've decided it's going to be jazz, it was like, whoa, okay. And yeah, he was really excited and I was really excited.
Oh, that's a lovely story. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Parents are so into you doing jazz. I love
Yeah. Yeah.
Mark, did you ever have this? Was there any resistance for you with you know, being a sax player, or with your daughters? Is there anything you really like? Were like, don't do that.
No, I mean, with my parents, they were super supportive. You know, a bit like Olivia's. You know, and I mean, the only thing my mum did say was, you know, don't you think you should have a backup? And I wanted to be a musician, but they were incredibly supportive. You know, I mean, my daughters, it was never. I have two daughters, Olivia, and they're grown up now, 34 and 32. But they never really wanted to go into music. I think they kind of saw how stressed I was at times. And earning money out of music, that they thought, oh, we're not going to do that. So they don't do music, but they have a deep appreciation of music, you know, and particularly my eldest daughter, she plays jazz on her iPod and, you know, her phone, you know, and a lot of her friends have never heard of any of these people. All the music she listens to is kind of old, but she loves it because she heard it and she still loves it. So,
yeah.
So, Olivia, how was Leeds College? Did you enjoy? I tell you what I want to know before you tell me that, actually, is you said you weren't very good at the trumpet, which rather than dispute this fact, because it's your opinion, which you're allowed, at what point did you feel like it really started to click and you started to get good? When is the growth, the main growth spurt for you?
Yeah. I just want to make it really clear that I definitely, definitely was bad at the trumpet. It's not just my opinion. I was. Okay. I didn't practice, you know. I would do my lesson. We had like group lessons, do my lesson once a week, and then the 6 weeks holidays would come and I wouldn't touch it. And that doesn't work with trumpet. You can't just do that. So I was seriously bad. And a lot of people that started jazz, I met a lot of people in uni that are like, I've actually only just started jazz, because that's what I was saying. I've just started. But they'd done classical and stuff like that. I didn't even know what I was doing. I was just wasting years and years of my life learning like tunes from Disney films and stuff, which was fun, but like I seriously was not good. Anyway, when I really felt like things were clicking was in lockdown, because I was still in college at this point and I just had so much time, and I just started doing transcriptions. Basically, I was doing transcriptions every single day, and that's when it really felt like I was making progress. And I was at this point, I knew I was, I think, yeah, at this point I did know I was going to uni to do jazz. Like I'd gotten in, but I still felt a little bit like, oh God, I've got a lot to learn before I get there. But it was during lockdown when I really felt like, yeah, everything's going to be okay. If I just keep doing this, keep practicing, I will be able to play the trumpet, you know. You know, actual music started to come out that horn at that point rather than just noise.
Do you remember what was the like best or your favorite transcription? Was there anyone that you absolutely loved?
I can remember my first transcription was Chet Baker, but not for me. I did so much Chet Baker, loads of it. The one that I truly, truly loved, which is kind of a random one, was Stevie Wonder's harmonica solo on Fragile. He's got a tune, him and Sting do this tune, Fragile. I think it's a live recording. And I learned that solo and I was like, I was telling my friends, because I kept on recording transcriptions and posting them on Instagram. And I was telling my friends, you don't even know what's coming. What I'm about to post is going to blow your mind. I was so proud of it. It wasn't actually that good, but that I found, I love, because I play a lot of jazz, but that wasn't what I was brought up on. There was jazz around the house. But what I properly, properly loved was like Stevie Wonder and Chaka Khan and all those kind of, that kind of music. So like to play Stevie, you know, Stevie's harmonica, to play that felt great. You know, that was a solo I always remember.
That's an incredible performance, isn't it? That.
Yeah.
And the Sting, keep looking up at Stevie when he's playing. It's just.
Yeah, it's great.
Is there anyone that you've done, Mark, that you really remember like vividly enjoying or even doing?
There were a few that were really important to me. There was a couple of Wayne Shorter things that I did and a Joe Henderson thing, that kind of thing. And realizing, certainly with Wayne, realizing that often it wasn't very, you know, the notes weren't complicated necessarily. It was the inflection and the kind of expression of it. You know, there was one solo I did on what was it called? It's on an album called Schizophrenia. Burton did it, Tom Thumb. And there's a bit in there where he just plays a chromatic scale. But it sounds so amazing because every note of the chromatic scale has a different inflection, you know. And that was a big lesson for me, that you don't have to always be super complicated. You can just play something very simple and it sounds amazing. And I guess that's the case with, you know, loads of great players, you know, whether it's Miles or Chet Baker, you know, sometimes the ingredients is quite simple, isn't it? But it sounds incredibly sophisticated.
Yeah, there's an album of Wayne Shorter and Herbie Hancock called 1+1, and it's just soprano sax and piano. But half of the kick I get out of it is just the soprano playing. It's so gorgeous, such a great sound. It's played like really almost like a contemporary classical, like really in tune, which isn't always the way, but yeah, I love players like that where it's as much about the like meaning as it is the note choice, you know, and the gestures of how they play.
Yeah, totally. And I think that, I don't know what you think, Olivia, but a lot of that goes back to some of the older players, you know. That's kind of what they had, you know, mainstream players, older players, they have a character about their playing, you know, like Johnny Hodges, for instance. You know, I love Johnny Hodges, and I think there's so much in someone like that, you know, in the inflection and the playing, you know. And I sometimes feels that it's got ever so kind of digital now, music, you know, and it's got to be complicated, it's got to be loads of information in it, you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I stood backstage once before a gig with Chris Potter, who's playing with our like college big band. And Chris turned and said this amazing thing to me, and I didn't really understand it, but it's sort of coming together now. He, right before we went out, he went, "Do you ever wonder, should we all just be playing Glenn Miller?" And then it was like, "Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Potter." And I was like, "Oh my God, what does it mean?" Luckily, there was no time for me to say anything stupid. But I think a lot of that is the essence of what you're saying, Mark, about just how some of that old school, like Johnny Hodges, you know, as like lead alto, it just had a beauty and a character. And even the way the vib was, you know, I feel like it's like melts my brain with its feeling.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that Chris Potter thing is quite a profound thing, isn't it? You know, what are we doing? You know, millions of people like Glenn Miller. And in a way, it's perfect. You know, Glenn Miller's, it's perfect the way it's put together, you know, when you think about it. The playing's great. The songs are great. Everything about it is great, isn't it?
Yeah, I was just at my daughter, who's only two. She does a nursery rhyme class on a Tuesday. But one of the nursery rhymes was like, it was like to the melody of like String of Pearls or something. I was singing it and I was thinking, this is amazing. What is going on here? And I was like, oh yeah. But I tell you what, Olivia, let's get back for a second. I would love to know about the title of this album, The Whole Damn Plan, because it's such a great title. And it's I like the sassiness of this, like your album covers looks like your trumpet mouthpiece has become a cigarette, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is
a great cover. Yeah, it's a brilliant cover.
Oh, thank you.
tell us about your idea.
Picking the title was quite hard. I'd kind of been thinking about it for a while and going, I'm just going to wait for it to come to me. And I just couldn't. And then I went to India for just under a month. And when I was at the airport waiting to go to India, I was messaging Luby trying to get the gig for the album launch. And it was quite stressful because I probably left it to a bad time to organise a gig for an album launch. But I was messaging him and he was like, I need to know the title of the album. And I was like, I don't know the title of the album. And I wasn't exactly sure what Wi-Fi situation was going to be like once I got to India. I didn't know if I'd get there and everything would be fine, or for a month that I wouldn't really be able to have contact. So I felt like I really had to decide right there and then. So I don't remember who had the idea. Possibly my sister had the idea to use a lyric from the album. So I just kind of sung the whole album through in my head at this airport, with like walking through with my bags and stuff, going, God, what line do I like? What line do I like? And that line is in Insurance Man. There's like a bit that happens at the end that goes round and round. It goes, the man's a sham, he lives to scam, take, that's the whole damn plan. And I just thought, I like it. You know, it's got the right attitude to it. And I kind of, it felt like I've just finished uni and this is it now. All I'm doing is gigging and playing and a bit of teaching, but this is it. This is the whole damn plan, making music and putting it out. And it really felt like it was the right little few words, group of words together to kind of describe what I'm trying to do with this album. Like, this is it now. So that's why I chose them. And it was kind of like, okay, I need to choose something now or else, you know, I'm going to run out of time. I think that's probably the best way, because it wasn't coming to me when I had all that time. So that's how I chose it.
It's great.
It's Insurance Man, one of your songs?
Yeah, one of the songs on the album.
So the lyrics came from one of your songs?
Yeah.
The title came from one of your songs. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Did you have anyone help you with the branding? Because you've done a great job of understanding like the whole like Apple Music, Spotify thing of your name is you, and then you put the like quintet on the cover, like so that all your music will end up in the same place. You won't have to have a separate bin of quintet, quartet, big, you know, because I actually talked to Jamil Sharif about that on the last show, and he's had a bit of a personal nightmare trying to only just collate his own music into one place.
Yeah. No, I didn't get any help with the branding. I just kind of made all the decisions myself. My sister did the artwork. I kind of really told her exactly what I gave her, like loads of, examples of kind of things that I wanted, and she brought it to life. But in terms of like what I just did there with putting it all under my name, I knew that was going to happen. I knew if I put Olivia Cuttle Quintet, it would be somewhere else, and then it would just be a whole thing. So I just thought, I'll put the quintet on the album cover because that's who is playing the music. You know, I want people to know this is the first album with us playing my music. But it's just easier if I put it under my name, everything's together. I didn't realize people were having trouble with that, so that was lucky. It was just a quick decision that I made. I might as well put it all in the same place. So that's what I've done there. I'm glad it's working.
Yeah, you smashed it. So before we go, tell us, what have you got planned? What's coming up?
What's coming up? So I've got a couple more dates for the tour. I'm playing the Spotted Dog in Birmingham on the 27th of February, and I'm playing Northern Quarter in Huddersfield on the 3rd of March. I've got other dates with the quintet, but they're not technically part of the tour. So they're coming up as well. I'll be playing at Jazz at the Lescar on the 13th of March.
Ooh,
and a few
nice
others that I can't remember. Yeah, it'll be lovely.
Olivia, can I just say, I've got one gig. I had one gig in February and my next one's in November, and I'm calling that a tour. So I don't think you should feel bad if you pile them all in. You've done brilliantly.
Oh, thank you. So yeah, just kind of doing those bits. And just enjoying it, really. Just enjoying the music for as long as like it doesn't make me feel sick, because I'm liking it for now. But, you know, you get sick of your own music. So just enjoying it. And that's the plan, just to keep writing music. I'm writing a few new tunes at the moment, and just keep it going.
Fabulous. Well, congratulations on your album.
Thank you.
And on how quickly. I'm so impressed you've done this so soon after graduating. Very impressed with your project, Clarity, the playing. Very sassy and got a great vibe to the whole thing. I love it. Let's finish with Insurance Man. I want to play the listeners this lovely tag. Mark Lockhart, thank you so much for coming and joining us. It's been brilliant.
Lovely to meet you, Olivia. Good luck with the
Thank you so much. Lovely to meet you, Mark.
Great. All right. Thank you so much for listening to the Jazz Podcast 7th birthday spectacular episode. We'll see you next week for part 2 with Mr. Mark Lockhart.
That's the whole damn plan. The man's a shadow. He lives to scam. Take, take, take. That's the whole damn plan. The man's a sham. He lives to scam. Take, take, take. That's the whole damn plan. The man's a sham. He lives to scam. Take, take, take. That's the whole damn plan. The man's a sham. He lives to scam. He lives to scam. Take, take, take. That's the whole damn plan. The man's a sham. He lives to scam. Take, take, take. That's the whole damn plan. The man's a sham. He lives to scam. Take, take, take.